Have your Bibles turn, if you would please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. There we would read, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations." Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. Indeed, it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You inspired men of old to write these passages, whether it's Psalm 100 or there in the book of Genesis or Matthew or the book of Revelation. Your Holy Spirit worked in and through their lives. They were inspired as you moved upon their hearts and in their minds, and they wrote for us to enjoy and to relish, to find comfort and strength and encouragement in the journey that we are on. But also there are those passages that are very, very convicting as well, as they should be, because it's the Holy Spirit within us who has drawn us to yourself to see you in a new and a fresh way as we continue our journey to live for you and to glorify you and to be the people that you so desire for us to be. Lord, we cannot walk this journey on our own. We lean heavily upon you. And as we look into this passage this morning, may we once again find encouragement and comfort. And that indeed, that there will be an inner joy and there'll be that inner happiness because we know you and the fellowship that we have with you. So we thank you for this moment, for this time. Holy Spirit, continue to do your work. You know the needs of your people. You know what is happening in their lives. You know what the past week was like. You know what the days to come, and yet, Lord, we are thankful for the fact that nothing takes you by surprise. You know it all, and thus we look to you for the help and guidance that we will receive from you. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at these five verses here, very short verses, you know, but also, I believe, verses to the way to memorize as well. Because there are days, you know, when we are not very, very joyful. You know, there are days, you know, when we're not very, very happy. And there are days, you know, that we're not very, very thankful. Due to situations that seems to come up from time to time, due to the circumstances that we encounter, because life sometimes, you know, indeed, if not all the time, is very uncertain. It's unpredictable and unexplainable as well, because things just seem to happen. I know I've had those experiences in my life as well, and the journey that I was on, you know, even this past week, you know, just certain circumstances came up, you know, that I wasn't very happy, I guess. You know, kind of, you know, I'm very convicted when I read that passage there in the book of Philippians where Paul kind of said there in chapter 2, I believe it's verse 14, you know, do all things without murmuring and complaining. How are you all doing on that assignment, you know? Because we have a tendency to murmur. We have a tendency to complain. And indeed, in the world that we live in, you know, it is very chaotic and very, very confusing. And there's a lot of conflict that we hear about and we see and fully aware of what's going on. And it puts a damper, you know, on our spirit. And yet I read this passage right here, especially there in verse 1, you know, where it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All of us, to make a joyful noise. And that joyfulness, you know, is not necessarily, you know, something that where you just kind of, oh, kind of like that, you know. There's an inward joy that comes from the Lord. In fact, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So I can't produce that kind of joy. It takes God's work in me as I become aware of my need for Him, that He begins to produce this fruit, the fruit of joy. You know, Paul, as I think of the book of Philippians, you know, it's only 4 chapters. And yet it is a book that is absolutely saturated with joy. Especially there in verse chapter 4, he talks about, you know, rejoice. And rejoice even more, you know, in your walk with Jesus. And I thought, you know, and as I read that passage or read that book, you know, Paul, you know, didn't have the best of circumstances. You know, he was in prison. His health by no means was the best for him. And of course, we know from the book of Corinthians, you know, that he had what he referred to as his thorn in the flesh. Now, we're not told specifically what that thorn was. It could have been a physical ailment that he had. It could be something with the, who knows? He was struggling. And he asked the Lord, Lord, if you would just only take that thorn away, I'd be better. And think of all the wonderful things I'd be able to do for your kingdom. And God said, this is one time God said, no. Because Paul, you know, my grace is sufficient for you to see you through whatever it is that may be going on in your life. And so as we read the book of Philippians again, you know, whether it was his circumstances, knowing that he was indeed in prison, or whether it was his encounter with people, because we have the same thing as well. You know, there are certain circumstances that happen to us that drains us of joy and or of happiness, because we experience, you know, and some circumstances will give us a sense of joy, but it's not lasting. And Paul knew that. And even in chapter 2 as well, as he zeroes in, you know, on the importance of people. And in fact, even chapter 1 told me, you know, he said, I know that there are people out there, it's making things a lot worse for me, but they're preaching Christ. So it doesn't really matter. As long as Christ is preached, as long as he's lifted up, that's all that I care about. And even in chapter 3, you know, Paul had everything going for him. But, you know, Paul said something interesting in there in chapter 3. He said, I consider all the things that I had as rubbish because my ultimate desire in life is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, we all like the part about, yeah, that's my desire. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Oh, yeah, just infuse me with your power. That part about suffering? Really, Lord? Did Paul have to put that in there? Couldn't he just kind of leave that out? And really, you know, suffering, in a way, helps us to lean upon, at least for me, to lean upon Jesus. If I didn't have suffering, I may not be leaning on him. I mean, I may, but not to the degree and the depth that he wants to take me, because he is conforming me into his likeness. And that's what he'll do for you as well. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. What's the key? How can we be joyful? Well, I believe, you know, we kind of sung one of the songs there, you know, abide in me. Abide in Christ. Stay connected with him. Joy is not so much that which is outward, but that which is inward. It's knowing in my mind and my heart that no matter what happens, no matter what befalls me, Jesus is walking with me. He's there at my side. And I'm sure that there are days that you have taken walks, or maybe you sit, you know, in a chair, or maybe driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, there are some other thoughts we kind of entertain as well, and you kind of wonder where in the world those thoughts come from. But there are thoughts that takes us to Jesus. And as we think about Jesus sitting right there with us, there is that inward joy. Paul said, you know, there's very key passages there, you know, there in the book of Philippians. I made reference to one of them already there in chapter 3. But also Paul said there, you know, there in chapter 1, he said, you know, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That no matter what the circumstances may be and what I may be going through, I'm remaining focused upon Jesus. Even in the book of Acts, when Paul and Silas were in prison, you know, and in prison at that time, you know, wasn't the best. You know, he could have sued someone, you know, and said, hey, you know, I'm not being treated fairly while I'm in prison. He didn't do that. What did Paul do? Him and Silas began what? To sing praises to the king. Sing praises to the Lord. Where did he find that? It was his walk with Jesus Christ. And I know life can be difficult, and I know life can be hard, you know, in the journey that we are all on. But, you know, again, it's that of focus. Make a joyful noise, a decision that you and I need to make in life. I choose to be joyful. You know, it takes more muscles, they say, to frown than it does to smile. So you're wasting a lot of energy if you're frowning all the time. You're wearing yourself out. You know, but to smile. You know, and not the idea, you know, that you're happy-go-lucky and everything is fine and hokey-dokey, you know, and in the journey that you are on. No. You can't, you know, we live in a real world, you know, but we have a real person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And, you know, Paul, again, going back to, well, that's what he said in chapter 1, for me to live as Christ and die as gain. But also there in chapter 2, where he mentioned, you know, the idea, you know, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought of others, of ministering to other people and their needs that they have. Because that's where it kind of alludes us there. Of course, there in chapter 4, you know, where it talks about, you know, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, because he cares about you. And just knowing that he cares about you, I mean, God is so great and he is so marvelous. He loves you deeply and profoundly. And if we kind of capture that, you know, in our journey that we were on, like the psalmist said here in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise. And he goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, so not only is there that of joy, because as we focus upon Jesus and we begin to worship him in spirit and in truth, there is an inner joy that he provides for us that enables us to serve. To serve. Because in the world that we live in, you know, there are a lot of broken people. We live in a broken world. That's what I want to say. We live in a broken world. And you've experienced brokenness in your own life at one time or another. And sometimes it's not easy when you are literally broken. But you know, with Jesus, with God, he wants people who are broken and contrite. He envelops you with his peace and his comfort. If we can picture that in our minds, Jesus coming alongside. And therefore, that enables me to be able to serve the Lord with gladness. And when I think about serving the Lord, you know, with gladness, or that of happiness, serving, I often think, you know, of the Beatitudes. You know, as you think of those Beatitudes, the word, you know, as we were familiar with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted. It says, you know, blessed, blessed, blessed. The word is happy, happy, happy. Not according to the world's standards of happiness, but what God has for you. To be able to come alongside of someone who is in need. Because you and I, we have the ministry of healing, the ministry of salvation, the ministry of hope to offer to people who are broken. And you have that opportunity. You're not called to be, not all of you are called to be a preacher. Not all of you are called to be a teacher. But God indeed has called you to be his servant and to serve others, you know, with gladness. Now, I don't mean to go up to someone and start laughing at them, okay? I don't mean that, you know. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this. I know for me, you know, I don't know why sometimes we resist in helping other people. And I'm not saying, you know, that you go up to someone, you know, and start beating them with the Bible or anything like that, you know. But there are so many needs, and you are aware of people that you live beside, or maybe whom you work with, or that you may see from time to time, you know, they have a need. And you may have the ability to minister to that particular need that they have. And once you meet that particular need, it does something to your soul and to your spirit. Wow, why didn't I do this before? And I know that, let me just kind of throw this out, you know, because as a pastor, you know, there's certain expectations that people have, you know, of pastors. But yet I do remember that there was this one lady that came under hospice care. And this is about when I started coming to the Huntington area, because I was primarily in Blair County there for a while, for about 7 or 8 years, and they were without a chaplain in Huntington. And so I started to, you know, come in to help out. And of course, when they say that, you know, we just want you to come and help out, you know, I became the permanent fixture, you know, in Huntington County. You know, so you just kind of make that up in your mind, you know. So when they say, you know, help out, okay, I know what you mean, you know, I'm going to be here forever. But anyways, she did not want a chaplain. Did not want a chaplain to come in. And sometimes in some of our meetings, you know, with the nurses, with the aides, you know, and with others, you know, we would discuss, you know, not we're ratting on people, you know, but we're trying to help each other out. Of course, how we can provide better comfort, better care, able to serve these people that are, you know, with us. And the medical director, she spoke up and she said, we got to get the pastor in and see her. And I thought, whoa, for the medical director to recognize that, you know, I thought, okay, I mean, not because I was anyone special. She just sensed something in her spirit that someone needed to be there to offer something. And so I said to the team, because she was so resistant to spiritual things, and I told the team, I said, look, I said, whoever the nurse would be to go to visit her and or the aide, let them know that my intent when I do, if she allows me to come in, is not to preach to her, not to thump the Bible, but to befriend her. You know, just to listen to her story, because everyone has a story. Everyone. You have a story. I have a story. And sometimes that story entails pain and heartache, but also that of wonderful memories that we want someone who will listen to us. I said, just let her know that much. And so finally she was told that, and finally she agreed for me to come and to make a visit just to see how it would go. So I went in there and made my visit. You know, I remember we sat on the back porch, you know, where she lived. And she was a smoker, you know, one cigarette after another. And of course, she would have a tendency of kind of blowing that smoke, you know, into my face. And she kind of said, you know, I hope the smoking doesn't bother you. And sometimes I'm almost tempted, but I didn't say it, you know. Well, if you don't mind me throwing up here on the back porch, you know. But I didn't go there, you know. I didn't say that. I thought, no, I'll just befriend you and listen to your story. I didn't preach to her. I didn't read the Bible to her. I didn't even pray with her. I just listened. That's all that I did. And some of the people who are hurting, maybe all that they want is someone who will listen, who will befriend them. And that's all that I did. I just listened to her. And finally, you know, the visit was over. I said to her, I got up, get ready to leave. I said, do you mind if I come back again? She said, yeah. You know, but let's keep it to once a month. I said, okay, that's fine. That's fine. You know, so a month later, I went back, listened to her story. You know, and I noticed the pictures on the wall, you know, that she had a lot of pictures of horses. But also I saw there were several pictures of herself. And I could tell the pictures of herself, which was probably years ago, that she was an attractive lady, but because, in which she volunteered this information later, you know, that because of drugs and everything else, she was very bronze in color. And just, you know, jaundice, you know, you just see it all over her. And I just started making, probably wasn't until maybe about, and she allowed me to keep coming back. And finally, you know, after about 4 months, she looked at me, you know, and she said, you know, I know you've been coming every month. I'm getting to kind of like you. Would you start maybe come every other week, every 2 weeks? I said, sure. And then when she said that, like the Lord was saying, ask her if you can pray. And so I said, would you mind if I pray? She kind of looked at me and said, I thought you'd never ask. And I was able to pray with her. And finally got to the point, so much so, after those visits that I had with her, she finally looked at me, you know, and she said, you know, she said, could you come every week? I said, sure, I'll come every week. And then I began to pray more and begin to share scripture with her, but listening to her story, always listening to her story, but bringing in his story, the story of Jesus. And it got to the point finally where she looked at me, and because of the relationship and her coming to faith, slowly coming to faith in Christ, she said to me one time, you know, she said, I wasn't sure about having a chaplain coming in, because my picture of a chaplain and or pastor was they would judge me right away. And I've already been judged. I've already been condemned because of the abuse and the decisions that I made in my life, and I didn't want to be judged anymore. I wanted to be loved. And for the first time in my life, I believe there's a God who loves me unconditionally. I went back again, and we were sitting at the kitchen table. And as we were sitting at the kitchen table, you know, she said, I want you to look out. You know, and of course, right in front of her picture window, you know, in her kitchen table was a big picture window. And she said, look. And I was looking out the window, you know, I thought she was pointing to something outside, you know. She said, no, not out the window. She said, look above the window. And there was a plaque that someone gave to her. And she said, I mean that. And what the plaque said was, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, wow. Then finally, you know, when she was slowly, you know, declining, and she knew the choices that she made in life through alcohol, drugs, you name it, she was into all of it. She said, I made some pretty bad decisions in life. But the one decision is knowing that God loves me and he rescued me. She said, in fact, I know I told you before, she said that when I die, you know, I was going to have my ashes, you know, could just kind of blow them to the wind and that'd be the end of it. She said, but not now. She said, I'll still be cremated. She said, but would you do the honor of having the service? And I said, I would. You see, folks, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, it pained me to see her in that condition. It pained me to know that she made some bad decisions in life, and I saw the effects of it as well. But the joy and the happiness that the Lord allowed for me to go and to serve and to help her in the journey that she was on, to come to faith in Christ in her way. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit that was doing the work within her, drawing her to the love of God. The joy, the gladness. Because the psalmist says there in verse 3, and this is how, it's interesting because when you look about joy and then gladness, serving the Lord, then almost like chapter 3 is like right there stuck in the middle. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made you, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He makes the difference. It is God in the lives and hearts of people, and in your life and in my life as well. Because when you read that verse 3, it talks about our God, who is, I guess the kids must love that course, you know, our God is an awesome God. That's very obvious. You know, if you don't catch that, you know, you're okay. but he is. He is an awesome, awesome God. And I got to remind myself of that, you know, because I lose track because of so many things that kind of go on in life. But also that same verse talks about him as our creator, as our redeemer, and as our shepherd. It is he who made us. I mean, when you think about it, did you ever pick up dirt? You know, you might be out in the field somewhere, you know, or you may be out in the yard, you know, and there's some dirt, you know, you just kind of scoop it up with your hand. What do you got there? Dirt. Can't do much with it, especially if it's loose dirt. Yet God was able to take dirt. I mean, when you pick up dirt, you know, do you see muscles? Do you see a skeleton? Do you see a liver? Do you see a gallbladder? Do you see, you know, brain? I don't see anything. I just see dirt. And yet God was able to scoop up dirt. He was able to make man. Wow. So that kind of God, you know, he being our creator, he knows everything about you. I marvel because I was getting older, you know. I mean, from doctors, you know, I'm learning all about all these different organs. You know, and now they want to take, I think I did mention this last time I was here, I know I got an appointment to have an endoscopy. Did I pronounce that right? These medical terms, you know, they just kind of throw me for a loop, you know, and I don't know, you know, and they get these big words, you know, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what they're saying. But they're going to do that for me, you know, I think on the 15th of December. They just like a little tube, you know, it's kind of going down your mouth, you know, down into your throat, you know, and just kind of see all those organs that's down there. And yet I think, you know, God, you already see them. You already know what's down there. You're the creator. It's amazing when I think about that. He knows how you're wired. He knows how you are made. He knows your ups and he knows your downs. He knows when you're sick and he knows when you're well. He knows it all together. Nothing takes him by surprise. As I mentioned before, you know, he's not standing up there and saying, whoop, I didn't see that was going to come or that was going to happen. No. He's not surprised. Not that he's up there hoping that bad things will happen to us, but we live in a broken world. And he knows that, and he's saddened by that, but he has a better world to come. One day. Thank God, you know, I don't want to worry about a tube going down my throat anymore. Huh? Or have these issues. One day. But he's the creator who loves you and gave his life for you, that you would be whole spiritually. Paul said, you know, yeah, outwardly we're wasting away. This body is aging. But inwardly, we have hope and a glorious future. He is our redeemer, as the psalmist said there. We are his very own, his people. And do you remember when Peter, James, and John were taken up on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it, and when Jesus was transfigured, and along, of course, with him was Moses and Elijah, and Peter, normally, you know, doesn't surprise us about Peter, you know, putting his foot in his mouth, you know. I mean, Peter did say, you know, it's good for us to be here. I probably would have said the same thing. I thought, wow, it is good to be here. To see such glory. I just cannot imagine what that must have been like for those guys. And of course, then Peter went on to say, you know, well, Lord, I think we need to build 3 shelters here. It's almost like Peter wanted to stay and not leave. Because Peter just said it, you know, because he was just overwhelmed. And the voice from the cloud said, and this was when Jesus was standing there by himself, said to Peter, James, and John, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." If I can, whoops. Okay. He said, "This is my beloved son." And as I thought of that phrase, "This is my beloved son," because Jesus is our creator, redeemer, shepherd, he's saying to each one of you, "You are my beloved child. You are my beloved child. I want you to know that you are special to me. Very special to me." Can you take that and embrace that? How special you are in the eyes of God. Landon, the youngest, I had him here, you know, I don't know if you remember him, about 4 weeks ago. And he has some issues every now and then. I mean, I never know what he's thinking, where he's going, you know, with his thoughts and so forth. And his brother, you know, he's the tall and lanky one. And where him, you know, he's kind of a little different there. And he said to me one time, he said this several times to his parents as well. He said, his comment was this. He said, "You know, I got a pretty good body, but it's my stomach that gets me into problems." Yeah, I mean, coming from a 10-year-old, you know, you just have to laugh at that, you know. But, you know, kids, what they'll say, you know, you just never know. But, you know, God love them. But we are his children. And children has all sorts of questions. But children, you know, they enjoy the moment. And Jesus say, "Enjoy the moment with me, because you are precious in my sight." He is the shepherd, the sheep of his pasture, who watches over us. Psalmist goes on to say, now I think we can understand when we kind of capsulize the joy, the gladness, and to know God for who he is, we can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. To enter his presence. You know, it's almost like, you know, we always have to enter a certain room or enter our vehicles to come to church. And we arrive at church, you know, we get out, you know, and we enter through the doors to come into the sanctuary in anticipation, perhaps, of what God has for us. And he's saying, now enter my presence. And in my court, offer words of praise and adoration for who I am as creator, redeemer, friend, shepherd. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Be thankful. You know, I know all kinds of changes occur in our lives. I know all kinds of changes have gone in my life in the past year. There have been moments, you know, I've had it hard to be thankful, especially for the one, you know, for my dear wife. As I mentioned to Rodney at the beginning of the service, you know, that, you know, we were married for 47 years. How can I be thankful? And yet as I dwell upon that, you know, because there is sadness there. And I still experience loneliness. I still experience that. You know, and I know I've talked to you about, you know, Jesus is our friend and he's there with us. And Jesus is acquainted with our grief. He's acquainted with our pain. He's acquainted with our loneliness, because wasn't Jesus on the cross all alone? So much so that he cried out, my God, why? Why? Because I believe Jesus knew, looking through the corridors of time, you and I would be asking that very same question in our pain and in our loneliness. God, it hurts. Why? And I guess in a way, as I think about that, thankful that, yes, Jesus took my place on that cross, but thankful that Jesus asked that very same question as well that I asked today. And that you may ask as well in the journey that you are on. But you know, when you ask that question, he reminds me to see and to realize, you know, my precious wife, Diane, she was God's gift to me. God's gift. I mean, it took me a lot of nerve to ask her out. It really did. I was sweaty at the palms, you know, my heart was racing and so forth, you know, all that kind of goes with it, you know, and I knew where she was at, and the guys in the dorm at Barnard College, this is where we met, you know, out in Iowa, kept trying, getting on me, you know, about asking her out, and so I went and I shot from the hip, you know, and I just said, would you want to go out with me? And she said, yes. Oh, really? But it was God's gift. God knew. Would I have wanted more years? Sure. You know, and it's hard, you know, because I'm seeing the grandkids growing. And I thought, you know, what if Diane was here? But thankful for, she was a gift. And the memories. And you begin to realize how much you miss. How much I took for granted. And now to be thankful for the gift of life, but the friendship of others as well that helps in the journey that we are all on when we come alongside of one another. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This past week, you know, I know it says, you know, do all things without grumbling and complaining, but, you know, I grumble every now and then. Because of issues that I'm having with my stomach, I gotta eat almost all the time rice and fish and steamed vegetables. Boy, how does that sound appetizing? When I was a meat guy, you know, every now and then I will splurge, and like I did last night, you know, I thought, I gotta have a hamburger. But of course I can't have it with a bun, because anything with flour, you know, kind of get things stirred up. And so I had to make some adjustments, you know, until they find out what on earth is kind of going on here. But my son and daughter-in-law come, and I said, when you come, I said, think of some recipes besides rice and fish and steamed vegetables. Think of something, you know, that else I could take. I know they gave me a list of things, you know, so I kind of went over it last night. But anyways, you know, Lord, I know you said to be thankful, you know, but boy, Lord, I'm having a hard time. But it is food. At least I'm not starving. At least I think I'm not. And the loneliness. Yeah. You know, I decided to go to a restaurant this past week. I thought, you know, I'm tired of cooking for myself. You know, so I thought, let someone else do it for me. So I'll just go to a restaurant. You know, well, this restaurant is normally packed, you know, during the lunch hour. The section that they put me in, there was only one other family there. They only were there for about 10 minutes. They were gone. I was the only person in that area. The only person. Here it is. I thought, okay, Lord, you know about my loneliness. You know, you don't need to make it that plain to me. Yeah, it really was cramped when I thought about that, you know. But yet the Lord just kind of gently, I'm sure the Lord just kind of smiles and say, oh, my beloved. You're lonely, but so was my son. He was lonely as well on the cross. I've given you life. Be thankful. For the Lord, as it says in that last verse, thankful because the Lord is good. He is merciful, and his truth endureth to all generations. He is reliable. He is dependable. He never turns me away. Nothing takes him by surprise. Even when I falter, when I doubt, when I'm afraid, when I'm all alone, he's there because he knows the journey that we are on. He knows the journey that you are on. He knows it. He's not there to punish you. He's there to receive you. And when I fix that into my mind. And as you begin to think about that as well, then we can make a joyful noise. We can serve the Lord with gladness, not in our own strength, but because of Jesus who's in you. Know ye, he is God, your creator, your redeemer, your shepherd. So enter his presence with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and be thankful to him. And bless his name, for the Lord is good. In the midst of all the bad that is happening, and the bad things that may happen to you, and things that are unexplainable and unpredictable and uncertain, the truth, the fact remains, God is good, and he's good all the time. Merciful and forgiving, reliable, dependable, who never turns his children away. He will never, never turn you away. Never. Never. You may turn him away, but he will never turn you away. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the reason to give thanks with a grateful heart. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your truth and your spirit in our hearts. Oh, Jesus. So many things occur and happen in the journey that we are on, but the truth remains, you're always there. There to receive us. And Jesus, may our spirits be lifted, our countenance be lifted, and there'll be a song in our hearts of always giving thanks with a grateful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we'll sing that song, Give Thanks. I know you sung it at the beginning, but we can sing it again. And then Jeremy, then I'll have you close, okay?